This week, we'll meet a young entrepreneur who started selling on eBay at the tender age of 16.
And later, Brian and I will answer your questions about purchasing multiple labels for one transaction.
I'm Brian.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information, and we hope the inspiration, to help you start and manage and grow your business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 216. Brian.
Griff. Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday.
And happy Tuesday to all our listeners.
I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to use the cliche. It's been a...
Oh, now I want to know the cliche.
Busy week.
Well, we had a couple day offsite. We're planning and stuff, so that makes things busier always.
Yeah. We're going to talk to somebody this week in our continuing series of going through all of the great interviews we recorded in October at the Las Vegas event, the Reseller Remix. This was one of my favorite. This kid, you'll hear, he's so matter of fact. I don't think he's really a kid now, but he's pretty young. But he started selling under the auspices of his parents, of course, on eBay at the tender age of 16. So we're going to meet him. And then next week, we'll actually meet his parents, Andy and Annette.
Looking forward to that interview.
Yeah, that's going to be good. I see we have a few news items to cover this week for a change. We haven't had very much news in the last couple of weeks.
We haven't, but we've got a couple this week.
Oh, good.
First up, in September, we announced that starting in October, we'll provide you with a free label upon sale to ship your authenticity guarantee eligible sneakers to our authentication center. The change applies to new and revised listings where eBay shipping is the default domestic shipping service. Throughout November, we will continue to roll out the new feature, enabling more sellers to receive the free shipping label.
Free. That's all I heard is free. 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 It's good news.
I think it's great news for all of our sneaker sellers.
Yeah, and as somebody who's now sold two pairs of shoes that went to the authentication center, yeah, I would appreciate that free label. So I'm looking forward to that, of course, as a business owner.
One less expense for the seller community. I think that's a good thing.
Yes.
Also in the news this week, the inaugural Small Business Report is now out and accessible to all. This new report examines how our sellers start their businesses and the important ways in which eBay supports their success. This survey of 2,607 sellers in the US, UK, Canada, and Australia demonstrates the key drivers of eBay's small businesses and shares how our marketplace has fueled their growth while enabling a global and community reach. You can find the first eBay Small Business Report on the eBay Inc. blog at www.ebayinc.com.
This is information every eBay seller should know about.
You can get a lot of best practices and learn quite a bit.
Exactly. That's the first thing I thought of. And then it's interesting to see how these small businesses are actually driving not only their own success, but the success of the eBay marketplace as well.
Definitely. And finally this week, eBay Vice President and GM, General Manager, Adam Ireland posted this year's holiday report, and it's definitely a must-read for every seller, regardless of what and how much you sell. You can find the report at www.ebay.com/announcements, and that's a little bit of a change for us.
I think the big news here that we kind of skimmed over is Adam Ireland. We're going to be seeing a lot of Adam.
We'll see a little bit more of Adam. In fact, he's got two posts up in the announcements, because another one went up today, Friday.
Yeah. Anyway, it's time for our main segment. And as I said, during our super productive day in Las Vegas last month, in the month of October, we talked to a lot of sellers. And one of the sellers we talked with, he's definitely one of the youngest entrepreneurs I've met.
Rebecca and I are still at the Boss Reseller Remix event. And we're here all day on this wonderful, beautiful Wednesday. And it's October 11th, Wednesday, a beautiful day in Las Vegas, the best glorious weather I've seen.
It's October 12th.
October 12th. And you know me, I'm always a day late, always short. And we're talking to sellers who have come to the event and finding out a little bit about them, what they do, how they do it, and why they do it. And right now, we're joined by Grant Heilman. Welcome, Grant.
Thanks for having me.
And Grant has the distinction of being one of our younger sellers. And we have lots of them, but very few of them ever agree to come on a podcast. Tell us a little bit about your selling on eBay when you get started.
So I started selling on my parents' account when I was 15, selling just video games that I was tired with, games I just didn't play anymore. So I'd sell those and use the money to buy like sports cards, things that I enjoy. And I realized that I can actually make some pretty good money by doing that. I just went to like sport card shows and started shopping on eBay and other platforms to get cards to sell and other like items to sell. I just started growing my eBay.
Do you have a particular sport that you specialize in?
I really buy a lot in baseball. I've been trying to branch out, doing a little football, basketball, a little hockey, a little soccer, but mainly probably 70% of the cards I sell are baseball.
And do you play baseball?
I used to.
You did, yeah.
Now he's too busy selling.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you tell your friends that you sell on eBay?
I do.
And what do they think of it?
A lot of them think it's pretty cool. I think some want to get started reselling, but it's hard for them to jump into it.
And until you're 18, you have to be selling on your parents' account.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
17.
In 2 years, how big has your business on eBay or presence become?
I did 25,000 last year.
It's not a hobby anymore.
Wow.
And this year it's been a little slower because I've been working on college applications and since it's my senior year. But I think once I get into college, I'll probably pick it back up again, hopefully do 40 grand and then maybe like try to grow it to about 60 grand.
It's great. That's college paid for. That's amazing. My son's a senior as well. Where are you applying?
I haven't chosen yet, like any specific schools. Probably somewhere in North Carolina or Michigan.
Do you have a major planned out?
Probably just something in business.
Of course.
Yes, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. How many listings do you have live right now?
Right now, I think I have 225 listings.
And do you list regularly? What's your strategy there? You know, we know some sellers are like, you have to list every day, and others, you know, do it once a week.
Yeah, so last year, I would probably try to list like 3 items a day or more. This year, again, since of I'm like applying to colleges and stuff, it's been a little slower, but I try to at least list an item a day that's like 100 plus.
How did you learn about trading cards? How do you keep yourself like educated and in the know about what's going on in the market, what cards you should be focusing on, that sort of thing?
I've collected sports cards since I was like really young, like 5, and just collecting them, watching certain players that I like grow, listening to groups about sports cards and just watching who's really doing well right now, who's cold, who I can buy like low, and then hopefully they'll have a good season this year and sell high.
Trying to keep up an inventory in this type of market, when you're talking about specifically baseball trading cards, it would seem to me it'd be difficult to do when you have to sort of presuppose who's going to do well and who's going to fade off into history.
Yeah.
How does that play into your strategy when purchasing? Do you just go by your intuition, what you think is going to happen?
Yeah, so I have cards that I'll sell, and then I have cards from my personal collection that I'll hold for 5-10 years. And I'd say I get a lot of inventory from like websites like Whatnot, because a lot of people will sell it cheap on there. They may only have 5 people in the room, so I can get $20 cards for $1. And then those I can sell relatively fast on eBay.
When I was in high school, and this we're talking early 70s, late 60s.
When dinosaurs roamed the earth.
They did. They plodded through our schoolyard. In my junior year, one of our class teachers was really into baseball. And what he did is he got, I don't know how he got them, but he got a bunch of rookie cards and got them signed by the different players. And each person was assigned a card. And then you watched to see how that person did throughout the rest of the year. And I paid no attention to it, including the card, which was a signed Nolan Ryan card.
Oh, really?
As a rookie.
Wow.
Where are those cards now?
I have no idea, but I'm just curious, how much money did I lose?
That would be a pretty pricey card.
It would,
yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I had it in my hand.
Yeah, there's a big market for signed rookie cards, especially when they weren't inserting autographs into packs.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to actually get it signed in person. And condition's always key for sports cards.
Do you have a holy grail? I think that's what they call sneakers anyway, but hopefully for trading cards as well. Do you have a holy grail card that you're on the hunt for?
I mean, there's a lot of cards that I've really been like eyeing. Like, I'm a big Detroit Tigers fan. Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green, the young prospects, rookie year this year. Probably a Riley Green first Bowman, chrome auto, numbered to like 99 or less. That'd probably be my holy grail card.
Would it be expensive to buy that?
I'm not sure what a Riley Green first Bowman out of 99 is going for right now, like the auto version, but I'd guess probably $1,500.
Well, so it's attainable.
Yeah.
But it's just hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
As you've probably heard about the eBay vault
Yes.
For trading cards.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried out the vault yet? Do you have experience with it?
I've not tried out the vault yet, but I do see it as, if I do buy a nice card in the future, like, I don't know, probably around a $500 value that will probably hold its value or steadily increase, I would put it in the vault.
Do you end up appraising a lot of cards for friends?
Yeah. At shows, I'll have people come up to my table with like Wayne Gretzky rookie cards, Michael Jordan rookie cards, easily 4, 5, 6-figure cards, and they just ask me to appraise it.
Wait, they're coming. They must know what it is. Are they just looking for reassurance? Like,
yeah, recently.
See how wonderful I am? I have this Wayne Gretzky rookie card, and you don't.
Yeah, like recently, like a couple months ago, a guy walked up to my table with a Wayne Gretzky rookie card, and he's like, oh, I just found this in the bottom of a drawer in my cabinet.
Nice story, bro.
Yeah, and it was in kind of poor condition. Probably would get like a 2 or 3.
Oh,
but still,
yeah.
A couple $1,000.
So do you do a lot of shows each year? Is that something new for you?
I've been doing shows probably since 2018 or 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I would set up with my dad. He does a lot of toys and I do sports cards.
Your dad's a seller too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a joint show.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be like half cards in one room and half toys in the other.
Okay.
And I would either set up in the toy room and try to sell cards. And recently I've tried just setting up on my own in the card room and he would set up in the toy room.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done pretty well at shows.
Oh, that's great. So it's an important part of your business strategy.
Yeah.
And do you think of yourself as running a small business, even though it's, you know, you're a student in high school, you're going to go to college?
Yeah, I'd think of it as running a small business because I still have to ship out items, list items. Still important to take care of the business.
When you're at a show with your father, are you competing to see who has the best day?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a competition. It's a lot easier with sports cards because I may have a $1,000 card in my case, and if that sells, then I might just beat him with one card where he has a bunch of $50 to $100 toys.
What kind of toys exactly? Antique?
He mostly does 60s, 70s, and before that, like going all the way back to the 20s and 30s.
That's so interesting. Do you think your dad would come and talk to us?
Yeah, I think he would.
All right, let's ask him.
Okay, we'll find out more from your dad. Maybe he has his side of the story.
Yeah.
We talked about the Holy Grail and what you're looking for, and you want to buy to make a profit. What are some of the things you advise people who are interested in cards to look out for that are actually the cons as opposed to the pro? Like, don't buy a card like this. Or
I still buy a lot of prospects, but don't get so excited over someone who's 16 years old playing baseball. Because there's guys like Jason Dominguez. He's in the Yankees organization, and his first Bowman Superfractor, which is a one-of-one card, sold at auction for, I think, $1.2 million. And he's never played a game in the MLB.
So
really?
He's someone who's, like,
highly, like, coveted.
Like, okay.
They think he's going to be really good. I personally don't see him as becoming a great prospect, but
if he doesn't pan out, does the value of that card drop?
Yes.
Yeah, so, it's speculative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, let's say first year, like, rookie year, has a horrible season, like batting less than 200, it'll probably drop to like a $200,000 card.
Yikes.
And then if he has a follow-up horrible year, same thing, batting like less than 200, probably drop to 50 grand or less.
And the purchaser of the card at the high price is going to show up at these games
yeah.
and have a few choice words.
Yeah.
So you both need to understand running a business on eBay and selling cards and going to trade shows. You also need to understand how to value those cards and how to watch and make guesses about what's going to happen. And you have to track all these baseball stats so that you can make smart decisions.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of data to be taking in all at once.
Yeah, I see it as kind of like the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
You get to watch players' stock go up and down. They hit a home run that, I don't know, wins the series. Card goes up. They strike out 10 times in a row in the series. Card goes way down. You just kind of got to watch it.
Yeah, it would have been my luck in the 80s. I would have paid a lot of money for a Bill Bruckner card. And if you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea.
Oh, yes. You want to tell her?
He was like barely a twinkle
in his
dad's
eye. Oh, yeah. He may not have been alive. So.
Yeah.
So it was the night that the Red Sox were this close to actually winning the World Series.
It was 1986. The ball went between his legs.
And Bill Bruckner was the player. They were just one out away. I was in a bar in New Jersey with a bunch of Met fans, and I'm not a baseball aficionado. Mm-hmm. And everyone at the bar was all despondent because the Mets were going to lose the series. I remember turning to someone and saying, wait a minute. I'm from Massachusetts and I don't know much about baseball, but I know they're going to screw it up. Watch. And they did. Uh-huh. And everyone at the bar bought me drinks.
Really?
Because that last, what would have been the last out, easy out, it went right through his legs.
Yeah.
And the poor guy, his career was over.
Yeah. We're going to hear from so many Red Sox fans in the comments.
Yeah, I know. But, hey, if you've got any comments about the Red Sox, just email the podcast at eBay.
So you said that some of your friends think that what you do is cool, selling on eBay. Do you have any advice for young people who are thinking, hey, maybe this is a great way for me to pay for college or a neat hobby to have?
I guess I would suggest going to a lot of thrift shops and not necessarily sticking with one category.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to branch out, buy a bunch of, I don't know, household items that you can buy for a couple bucks and sell for like 20 or 30 on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really need to have a curated store.
Right.
Especially when you're just starting.
So basically just give it a try and learn how to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people, even young people who are considering doing something new, they want to analyze everything and they're afraid to make a move. Well, I'm not going to buy this thing in the thrift store until I know exactly what it's worth and what I can get for it. And then they walk away and it's gone. And
yeah.
So you got to take a little bit of a plunge.
Yeah, you got to take a chance on some items.
What's the best card you've ever bought and sold?
This is probably like 6 months or no, probably more like a year ago. I went to a flea market and there's this guy. He's a card dealer, so you'd expect him to know what he has. And he has five totes just full of cards. And I'm digging through all the totes. There's some like Sports Illustrated for Kids cards. And I see some good cards. So I'm like, yeah, I'll give you $40 for the whole stack of stuff. So I go home, start flipping through stuff. There's stuff like a Mike Trout rookie card from Heritage, which I sold it for $100. But then I started digging through the Sports Illustrated for Kids, and there was a Tiger Woods pre-rookie card. Before that, people realized that was worth something. 2001 was considered as his rookie year, and that uncut sheet was from 1996. So a huge gap between. So I sold that sheet for $1,400. And in the same lot, there was also like a Serena Williams uncut sheet I sold for $1,200.
My gosh. I think I would frame those and put them on my wall. But
I don't know. I like the profit. I like to see think of them on someone else's wall while I'm filling my wallet.
We already asked you what would you tell to other teenagers who are interested. But what's one piece of advice you would give to any eBay seller?
I'd say just work on listings probably 3 to 5 items a day, because then your sales will grow. It'll hopefully raise you to like the top of the listings, and I think it will help with the algorithm.
Great.
Well, I want to thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We get a lot of people our age on the show. It's nice to have a younger perspective. The success of eBay as a company and as a marketplace depends on people like you. I hate to put all this responsibility on your shoulders, but we need more young people, so hopefully this will inspire some people to start selling.
Yeah, hopefully.
If we want to shop for some trading cards, how do we find you on eBay?
You can find me on eBay at GRHEIL0. So it's GRHEIL and then the number 0.
We'll put a link to your seller items so people can go and check you out. Do you have other channels like on social media?
Yeah, I have my Instagram, which is Grant's Baseball Cards, all one word. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
You got questions?
Well, guess what? We got answers. And first up this week, Brian, in our question queue is eBay seller JL. That's all he gave us.
Oh, no address?
No, and in fact, I had to get that from his email address. So I hope, JL, that's actually how you want to be known, because that's how you're known right now. JL sent in two questions for us, by the way. And the first one is about the limit for creating multiple labels for a single sale. Maybe some sellers aren't aware of it, that there's a number limit. And the second one is about return labels for a partial return for a sale of multiple items. And in the interest of saving my voice, would you do the honors, Brian?
Sure thing. Well, JL sent this into podcast at ebay.com. Good morning, dynamic duo. This avoids picking whose name goes first.
Which one of us is Robin and which one of us is Batman?
Depends on which week.
Oh, brother.
Well, thank you, JL, for that. That's very politically correct. Vegas Super Deals is my store name, and I've been selling on the site for a few years. I just started listening to the podcast. There's always more to learn, and I've enjoyed listening so far.
I love the so far.
Yes.
It's like, you know, listen, guys, I've enjoyed listening so far.
Yeah, better keep on your toes, you two.
Exactly.
My question is in regards to the shipping label limit of 4. Let's say I sell 6 bar stools to one customer. Isn't it pretty obvious I would need 6 labels? I know I can get around it, but the system should be smart enough to allow me to print more in this situation. And he has a follow-up. If that same buyer wants to return 2 of those bar stools, the system should allow me, if the buyer selects quantity 2 in the return, to actually give 2 labels. eBay is very aware of the dimensions and weight, and the system should allow me to be able to give the correct amount of labels. Thanks for your time on this. I can't be the first person with this same problem.
Well, he brings up a good point.
And we do have a current limit.
Yeah, we do. And I think it's actually 5.
It is 5.
So you can print the first label and then 4 more. So maybe that's where he gets 4.
Yes. So we have a limit of 5 labels, and you can print on eBay for a single transaction. That's the first label and then the additional 4, like you said, Greg.
Yeah, but if a seller really needs to print 6 or more labels for a single transaction, well, that seller could utilize a third-party service like Stamps.com to print those extra labels, but that solution isn't perfect, and I'll tell you why. Because there can only be 1 tracking number per a single transaction. That could be dicey if that package went missing. There's just no record of it. That wouldn't be fair to the buyer. I don't think the seller would be on the hook, but it's not an ideal solution.
Another option, you could split listings up, right?
Yeah.
You could split the list 6 bar stools into separate listings of, say, 2 bar stools per or 3 bar stools per.
Yeah, yeah. I think that actually might work better. It's still, though, if you think about it from a marketing standpoint, it's not the ideal solve.
It puts more work on the buyer.
It does, because if the buyer wants all 6, they're going to have to buy from 2 different listings and then, not very elegant or neat. So, JL, the upshot is there's no elegant or clean solution to the scenario you outlined. The 2 we just provided both have their obvious drawbacks, which we have been very open in pointing out. As for the return part of the question, well, I fear we don't have a simple answer to that one either.
Did we at least take this 6-item shipping scenario and push it up to Stuart's
That's
team?
Where I got all this information.
Oh.
You think I just came off with the top of my head?
Well, you know everything, Griff, so it's kind of like figured you knew everything on this one.
Well, I think we talked about this last week that I had this question, but I was waiting for the team to get back to me, and they did.
Currently, the returns platform is limited to 1 label per return, and there is 1 transaction per return.
Yeah.
This means if the bar stools were listed as separate items, the buyer would open 1 return per bar stool and returns would provide 1 label for each return.
Yeah, but that's not what he's doing, obviously. So
right.
If the bar stools were listed as 1 multi-quantity listing, the buyer would open the return and eBay would be able to provide only the 1 label. So we went back to the shipping team for a solution, and Steven on that team did provide one that could work for you, JL. But again, we have to warn you, it ain't simple and it ain't elegant.
It works like this, JL. The seller will need to turn on RMA in their return preferences.
Yes.
You can find that option by going to Selling Preferences, Return Preferences, and then scrolling to the bottom of the page.
And once that option is enabled, the RMA option, if you have already set it up this way, eBay will no longer auto-approve the seller returns at open. So when a buyer goes to make a return request, it's not going to automatically approve. Instead, the return will go into a pending status awaiting action from the seller. The seller will then see options to accept or issue a refund. And then they'll need to accept the return, after which they'll see a screen with the option to provide an eBay label or upload their own.
And the seller should then choose to upload their own.
Yeah.
Then upload a PDF file that contains however many labels the buyer needs. For example, you could purchase your return labels from your carrier of choice, compile them in 1 PDF, and then upload that file for the buyer to print out.
Yeah, and that's actually something I've heard other sellers do. I know that I could buy return labels from FedEx or UPS. I don't know how easy it is to do it from USPS. Oh, and one more caveat, JL. The solution only works for seller-paid returns. This means it will work for all SNAD returns, obviously. But if a buyer files a remorse return, it will also work only if the seller also offers free returns for all returns. So for large items that must be shipped in multiple boxes, you would have to offer free returns for this to work. so your buyer doesn't have to go through the hassle of printing out a label that won't work for their return. But keep in mind, at the seller, you would have to factor in the possibility of high return shipping costs for this type of return. So again, it's not elegant.
No, it is not. Well, maybe JL should just list 6 separate listings with 1 bar stool in each. That might make shipping and returns easier, but it's definitely harder to market 6 separate listings for each set of 6 matching items.
Oh, you know, wait, there is another option.
What's that?
Well, maybe he could ship all of them as freight, 1 shipment.
Okay, that might work. It could be more expensive for shipping, but that would solve for multiple labels.
Yeah, and with the addition and enhancements for our freight option, this actually becomes a lot easier, and there's now tracking for freight as well. So you could use that RMA solution with freight, that one that Stephen provided to us.
So JL, there it is, or there they are, 3 possible solutions.
Yes.
And our shipping team's aware.
I think they're painfully aware of the fact that there are some aspects of shipping and returns and labels that just aren't, well,
optimized.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And they're on the roadmap. But again, we can't make any promises of if or when they'll ever get changed or fixed. So those are your options for now. Your other option is to get out of the bar stool business and
No, don't do that.
Yeah.
I'm glad he left his username. Like, you know, I need a couple bar stools, so I might have to go check out his store.
You know what I would do? It was just, if I was selling bar stools and I had various sets of 6 identical, I might sell 4 and 2. You could do that in separate listings, right? If you only want 4, go here. If you only want 2, go here. If you want 6, buy both.
In my situation, that would make me really frustrated as a buyer because I need 3.
Oh.
In my kitchen, you know?
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about the odd number. I just thought in even numbers because that's how my brain works. So I take all that back,
well,
JL.
You're so even keeled.
Yeah, right. Tell it to my therapist. Hey, Brian, remember that seller, Patricia, who wrote in about tracking and was ill-advised by our very own good friends in CS to create a dummy tracking number? Do you remember that?
I painfully remember that, Griff.
Well, eBay seller Jean from Birmingham, Alabama, heard our response and sent in a tip she has used for solving the multiple label issue.
Cool.
So I'm going to read this one. Dear Brian and Griff, you got first. This is in response to Patricia's question on the episode of the podcast where she talked about, you know, the dummy tracking number. My nonprofit sells donated sheet music on eBay as My OCA-Scrollworks. We use the funds to provide music lessons for children who otherwise wouldn't have access.
That's wonderful.
We often have buyers who purchase multiple items, which I then ship in one package. I always try to use the bulk label flow to combine the order so only one label is created. However, quite often the weight and package size is way off. It seems that the dimensions of each item are added together. She's right. I usually ship in 15 by 10 padded mailers. On the bulk label flow, the length dimension, for instance, seems to be 15 times the number of items in the order, which means the price of the label is not correct. If I change the weight and dimensions to the correct values, the new estimated price is also incorrect. Today I shipped 5 pieces of sheet music together that in total weighed less than a pound. The dimensions were messed up and the price was $4.26, which is incorrect for media mail. I corrected the weight and dimensions, clicked for a new label price, and it was $18.
Ouch.
All right, now I sent this off to the shipping team because really, that's not good.
Yeah, that's... No, not good at all.
But here's what she does. Now, you know, sellers are nothing if not enterprising when faced with obstacles that eBay inadvertently drops in their path.
We have a very large set of creative sellers.
Yes, we do. And here's what she does. What I do when this happens is to uncombine the order, make a label for the first item in the purchase with the correct weight and dimensions for the combined package, and then I copy the tracking number for that label and use the add tracking number on the remaining items to upload that tracking for each. It works every time. Genius.
That is genius.
Yeah. She's got it figured out.
The only downside,
yes,
is in that scenario that was brought up before where if, let's say, someone wanted to return one of the items.
Yeah.
Right?
They still can because they were separate listings. This is not necessarily the system seeing them as combined, although she has done
she's
so afterwards.
Kind of, yeah.
So she could still issue a return for each separate
exactly, listing.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Actually, Jean, that's a really good solution.
Oh, she says, I hope this information helps. Love the podcast. Jean, go forth. Brian, what's your take on this?
I think it's a good solution. I was trying to poke a hole in it, and I was unable to poke the hole in it. Because, like, that's the thing. It's like I'm always trying to think. I put my trust and safety hat on and think, okay, what's the downside? Like, what's the thing that I'm not thinking of? But if she's been doing it for a while and hasn't actually experienced any problems, it's probably a really good workaround.
Yeah. Like I said, I sent this off to the shipping team because I said, I want you to see what our sellers do. And hooray for Gene. And if you're a seller faced with this situation, perhaps Gene's tip will work for you. We received the following glowing praise from eBay seller Gary, who's actually called into the show before. He sent this to podcast@ebay.com. Hi, Griffin, Brian. I'm first. Love the podcast. It's my weekly adult ed class for all new things at eBay. Today, I write to thank the eBay gods for the new eBay connector by QuickBooks link that helps send my eBay sales and expenses to my still new QuickBooks online account. I was one of those poor souls who trusted GoDaddy bookkeeping for years to track my eBay finances. Would have been nice if they shut down at the end of the tax year instead of the middle. I know, right? I digress. The new eBay QuickBooks integration tool has no obvious download instructions, but for those interested, you click Get App and then New link at the following screen. Just follow the simple instructions after that. I'll put a link so you can know where to start. Full support for the insulated car coffee tumbler as the next version of eBay swag and for the new eBay Seller Spotlight podcast. Well, thanks, says Gary Lee, Costa Maine Antiques.
Well, thanks for that suggestion, Gary.
Yeah.
Especially for other sellers out there who were using GoDaddy.
They're not using it anymore, right? It's gone.
It's gone. Do you know, maybe we can send them a tumbler.
We don't have any tumblers yet.
Well, we don't have eBay for Business podcast tumblers.
I think we're going to get
I think I have an eBay, just eBay tumbler.
No, if you're going to send one to him, you got to send one to the entire class.
Okay.
You know how that works.
Yes.
Anyway.
I do. Well, thanks, Gary, for that. It's always good to learn. We're providing some sort of utility.
Mm.
I think the insulated tumbler is the current front runner for the new podcast swag.
Yeah, I do. I think it's probably what we're going to do. Up next, Brian, do you remember Glassy Babies?
Yes, I remember them. I'll never forget them.
Well, you can't. Not as long as sellers like Kayleen send in emails like this one. I'm going to let you read it. Why don't you read Kayleen's email? Because it's right up your alley.
Hello, Brian and Griff. I just received a return. Buyer just changed their mind. And imagine my laugh when I saw the box it was returned in. A Glassy Baby box.
Are they worth anything?
They might be, actually. You can match them up with the Glassy Baby and sell it for more. I would never have known about this brand, but for listening to your podcast, I thought you would get a chuckle out of it. I have learned so much listening to your podcast. My husband and I have had an industrial resale business on eBay for the past 2.5 years, Roundtown Repurposing. We still have a lot to learn and room to improve, but it's a lucrative side hustle. Anyway, thanks for all the great information, Kayleen. And Kayleen, thanks for that. You gave us a little chuckle, too.
Yeah. When I saw the word Glassy Baby, I blanched a little bit, but it was a good one. And, you know, yeah. Kaylee, we'd love to have you on the podcast to talk about your business because we don't get a lot of – I think we may have one or two in the last 4 years that they do industrial reselling. And I think a lot of sellers don't realize that – I mean, I don't want you to create your own competition, but it's kind of a – underutilized thing. You may live in an area of the country where this could actually work for you. So maybe we should get Kayleen if she wants
to. Yeah, if she's interested. Yeah.
Kayleen, we're soliciting you right in the middle of the podcast.
It's always good to have sellers on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, and the fun doesn't end there, Brian. Do you remember a few episodes back when I poo-pooed teacups?
I certainly do. Did someone respond?
Oh, like clockwork. eBay seller Warren sent the following to podcast@ebay.com. Hey, guys. Now, that covers everything.
It does.
You shouldn't say
very short.
Hey, gals.
Short and sweet.
I'd like to start out with a big thank you to both of you for such a great and informative podcast and the content you provide to the eBay community. I've been a member on the platform since 1999.
Wow. Thank you, Warren.
Yeah. And in the past 12 months, after a long hiatus, I've been enjoying your show and consequently listing heavily through my store. My comment specifically is in regards to episode 213, in which you had a brief dialogue with a lady on how, unless you want a $1 profit, teacups are not worth the time or the effort to sell online. I'm by far not a teacup connoisseur. That's nice to hear. But this comment hit home with me since I recently was at a local Goodwill and noticed a very delicate and ornate teacup mixed in with the normal ceramic selection you often see on the shelf. But it was priced less than $2. Gold rim, beautiful red rose pattern and a solid English Ainsley mark. Yeah, Ainsley.
Wow. For $2.
Well, I don't know. It's still worthless to me. Oh, pretty. I thought as I carefully placed it back on the rack and went my way. Turns out I decided to look it up that night and found out that it sells for over $100, even without the matching saucer. Needless to say, I went back the next day. And of course, as many resellers could attest to, it was no longer there. I just thought I'd share this story. I'm sure by now you've been inundated with dozens of snarky teacup collector emails explaining how high-end English teacups will sell for hundreds and sometimes thousands of dollars online. If by chance you could form this into some type of question, that would be greatly appreciated, since I would love an eBay for Business coffee mug. Sincerely, Warren. Warren, of course you're going to get a mug, but you gotta send us your address.
And you got to tell us what kind of tea you put in our coffee mug. I'm just glad that he didn't say he put it down because of the information we had given in the podcast, because otherwise we would have cost him $98.
Oh, brother, we'd be getting invoices.
And our podcast mugs are not worth $98.
They are not. Of course, the first thing I thought of was, Hyacinth Bouquet, my hand-painted periwinkle china. Anyway, teacups, they're going to be the bane of my existence now.
You know, maybe we might get some good stories about teacups.
Yeah, do you have a good profitable story about, over-decorated, over-fancy, fussy Victorian teacups? Please share them. We'd love to talk about it.
Are there any left?
Well, not after I get done.
I once bought a nice little tea set, It was like an Irish thing. I think I'd come back from Ireland. Yeah. I thought, I should buy something. And it was really nice. I broke the milk thing that came,
Of course you did.
Like within a week.
Yeah.
And then I cracked the darn teapot within like a month. They're very fragile, those things.
Oh, dear.
Maybe that's why they go for 100. They're rare.
Like Hummels.
Well, thanks for that, Warren. And honestly, we haven't been inundated yet with snarky teacup collectors.
At least not yet.
We haven't yet captured the interest of the STCC set yet.
Snarky teacup collectors.
We acronym everything at eBay here, Griff. You know that.
Yeah, well, in the same vein, we also haven't awakened the ire of the SHCs either.
SHCs.
Snarky Hummel collectors. Oh. Remember them?
Yes. You like to smash them with your little pink hammer.
I do, but I don't have any more to smash.
Maybe our listener would like to donate one for the cause.
Ooh, that would be fantastic if he or she did. Just send it to us at eBay Inc., 2145 Hamilton Avenue, San Jose, California, 95128.
And Griff will smash it on the air. Oh. And you know what? I might just buy one so you smash on the air.
Oh, that would be smashing. Such fun.
Is there a certain size like that you require for the Hummel?
Oh, no. Just okay. The Hummel. I don't discriminate but based on size. They're all crap to me, so I'm happy to bang it into oblivion.
Okay, I'm going to find the least expensive Hummel I can get.
You can find them. They're out there.
I know. Yeah. They used to be pretty valuable back in the day.
We'll do it on the air. I'll smash one in a plastic bag.
Okay. If you want to join the smashing fun here on eBay for Business, call us on 888-723-4630.
That's 888-723-4630. That hotline is open all day, all week. It's never closed. Leave a question or a comment. Who knows? We might put it on the air.
And if you're not a call on the phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now the listener out there who accuses us of being the purveyor of really bad dad jokes, here's your 3-point podcast checklist.
Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
Hey, and all kidding aside, make sure you take a few minutes to read through the eBay Small Business Report. It's worth it.
Definitely. Need to review anything in this episode, including tips from our sellers? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
Our next episode, as I said, we're going to talk with Andy and Annette Heilman, Grant's parents. He was our guest this week. Oh, and more news. We'll also welcome back Rebecca Michaels to the co-host desk for our next episode, since Brian, you're going to be out of town most of next week.
I will be out of town in Nashville on vacation, seeing my eldest daughter.
Oh, Nashville.
I've never been, so I'm excited.
I'll give you a list of things to do. You got to see the Ryman. You got to see the Country Music Hall of Fame. You got to go to the RCA Studio B tour.
But I'm a history guy, so I got one history item. So we're going to the Hermitage.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. Not as great as the Ryman.
Well, we're doing the Ryman too.
Good. I think I told you should try to book the Nash Trash tours.
We looked it up.
And?
Booked.
Oh, I knew it. I can't say enough about this. you got to look up and book a seat on the Pink Bus, the Nash Trash Tour. It is the funniest 2.5-3 hour tour you will ever take in your life.
And book it in advance because I tried a week in advance and they're like 3 weeks out.
Well, maybe next time.
Well, thanks again to this week's guest, eBay seller Grant Heilman.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.